For excellence is the mighty name of Yahweh. Here on this Shabbat, as we enter into the Beit, the tabernacle of our precious Abba, to bless you and to praise you. As we bow down before you this Shabbat, with a gift of thanksgivings, with a love that sincerely bowed down to you, we submit all things into your hands, that you may work all things according to your will. For we are a people that is in need of your direction, a people that need your instructions. We can of our own self do nothing at all. So as we bow unto you this Shabbat, to bless you and to thank you for the many wonderful blessings that you have showered upon us all. You have given us the strength and the endurance to come into your presence and to Shabbat you, to bless you your way. As you have opened up our understanding to the simplicity of your truth, that all Yisrael shall be redeemed and saved. So we bless you for that truth. We thank you for the visitation. For there are two or three gathered here today in the power of your name. You declare that you will come and be in the midst of that fellowship. And so we bless you today. And thank you for your visitation, for the power of your Ruah in the midst of the house of Yisrael. We thank you for the precious doom, the blood of HaMashiach, the price paid in full, the propitiation for our transgressions of the Torah. We thank you for that and we bless you. We do praise you for the Teshua, the victorious power that we have in Yeshua. For he overcame death, the power of sin and darkness. He overcame the very onslaught of hell, Shatan, and every temptation and every trial, to be the example for the house of Israel, that we will know without a shadow of a doubt that Yahweh lives. For HaMashiach declares that as the Abba lives in me and I in him, the words that I speak, they are not of myself. But these are the words that my Abba speaks to Yisrael to prove the power of his redemption, to show them that Yahweh is our Yashak, that HaMashiach is the power and the strength of that salvation. For he overcame the powers of darkness. He overcame the rule, the Torah of the flesh, to give us the new, the renewed, and the living way of the hope of Almighty Yahweh. For under the Torah of Moshe, under two or three witnesses, a man that committed a transgression of that degree, he died. But HaMashiach has come to give us life, and to give us that life more abundantly. And the more this power of your government reside in our levim, it gives us that excellency of an abundance of life, that we rejoice in obeying you, that we rejoice in our faithfulness unto you, that we take great delight that you would choose us and call us and set us apart for your bayat, for the service of your house. We bless you, Yahweh, for what greater desire could one have but to serve you in the fullness of your power and in the strength of your Yahshua. Bless our precious brothers and sisters around the nations of the world. Those that are in this nation, we pray for them. Those that are in every part of the world, those that are distressed today, the poor, the hungry, those that are incarcerated, bound by the chains of prison bars, give them that liberty today to worship you on this Shabbat, that they may rejoice in the bountiful blessings of Almighty Yahweh. We shall worship you. We shall esteem you. We shall declare your name. We shall rejoice in your name. We shall bless your mighty name. So help us all today that we may walk in the power of your emet, your truth, and delight in your truth. We ask it all in the mighty name of Yahshua, the Lamb of Israel. And we worship you this day in the power of your Ruah and in truth. So bless every person that is here today, those that are under the sound of my voice as they listen on the live stream, those that are gathered with Brother Nathan there in Houston, Texas, wherever they are. We pray that they will be blessed and rich and enlightened by the power and revelation of your truth. We trust you in HaMashiach. We believe you, Yahweh, by the power of HaKodash, Ruah. And we thank you for all things. And the people of Yahweh cried, Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah,
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Wait on Yahweh. Come on, lift your hands.
Hallelujah,
we wait upon Yahweh. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voices. Come on and bless it.
Hallelujah.
He's going to renew us today. Hallelujah. They that wait upon him shall be renewed. We want to be renewed today, Yahweh. Hallelujah. 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 For we sense your presence in the house above. For we do pray that you receive the accolades of worship and reverence to your mighty name. We do pray that it will be done with all purity, with a sincere motive and desire, that you, our heavenly Abba, you will receive the worship, this small gathering here, in this Beit that is dedicated unto your name, unto your presence, unto you, Yahweh. For this is Yahweh's congregation, the assembling of his people. We pray that you help us this day to give us understanding as we hear this simple truth, this Shabbat. Those that have ear, let them hear what the Ruah speaks unto the Beit of Yahweh. Bless this gathering in this house today, that your name will be reverenced and esteemed above all names. And we will thank you for that. And we will bless you in the mighty hope, Yahshua, the Lamb of Israel. We bless you and we thank you. And the people of Yahweh cried, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look to your neighbor and say to them, Shabbat Shalom. It's wonderful to be in the Beit of Yahweh this day. Yahweh blesses you. You may be seated. We bless you all. We certainly do thank Almighty Yahweh for all things. For that is the name that is given under the Shemayim, whereby we find the Yahshak, the salvation, the Yahshua of the mighty Creator. And our Levin should rejoice with exceeding gladness. We should be filled with the praises of Yahweh to see what a magnificent and a wonderful thing that He has done within the boundaries of clay, of an earthly tabernacle. And He has done something that is so magnificent and so powerful. The natural conscience of man has no understanding of that. That's why we need the mind of HaMashiach. For He is the living power of Yahweh's Torah that was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld the mighty power of Almighty Yahweh only to the house of Yisrael. For He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Yisrael. And all Yisrael shall be saved. All Yisrael will be saved. I want to emphasize an important expression today that is so predominantly used in every kind of religious circle there is. It is certainly used in Christendom, and that is simply the domination of their Christianity doctrine. It is certainly indicated in Scripture that we must be conformed by this renewing of our mind of the power of HaKodash Ruah, the Spirit of Almighty Yahweh. We cannot envision Yahweh in some natural identity that we can shape in our minds. He is not revealed unto us that way. Not at all. Even in the power of this living truth that HaMashiach was and is, yet those that followed Him, because of their obscured vision and their inability to be single of eye, could not see nor realize that this was the living hope of Almighty Yahweh, that He is the emit, the truth of Yahweh, and beside Him there is no other. But there is a phrase that is used at what we call Christendom. It is used in Scripture, and it applies to a people that you will know that they have truly been born again. Now we have this wholesaling of pseudoism, rebirth, and what we call religion, but it is not the born again experience what Scripture teaches. And we will see in Scripture whether it teaches that, whether there is instructions, how we know that we are reborn and born again, whether this is a new concept of HaMashiach, or was it from the beginning? Did Yahweh speak by the mouths of the Navis that this thing would come to pass, and that Israel would be born again, not by some physical manifestation or metamorphosis, although there is a change in the physical dynamics. But it is something that is far greater than that. It is. And that is one thing that religion has done. It has wholesale this. It has been for wholesale. It has been so pseudoed that no one really understands the true experience and what the true birth of Yahweh is. And it is in Scripture, brothers and sisters. It is found in the book. It is very sad because there is not a tremendous driving desire for people to know truth. We will search out every snippet of gossip and untruths that never bring us to the reality and the strength of Yahweh. We'll give our ears to every kind of vile, idle conversation that will not produce the most valuable things and thing that is needed in our lives. And that is the fruit of Almighty Yahweh. We need the fruit in this desperate hour, whereby everything you touch, it is filled with death and full of death. So we must know what Scripture says. It is important. And I do pray that Yahweh will give me the liberty today that I will take my time. And I want to explain things. I want you to understand the meanings. It's very important. Wisdom is very important. It is principle. But we are a generation that need understanding. We don't have understanding. You're a lost generation. As Brother Patrick and I were in that prison facility on yesterday evening at the beginning of the Shabbat, as I walked through the doors of this massive, humongous facility, and this Constantine wire on everything, everywhere you look, and thousands of young men, as I looked, I was amazed at the youthfulness of the young ones that are there, and they are bound to those shackles. And that is what this worldly spirit has done. It has bound us to religious principles and traditions. But they're not based upon truth. They're not based upon Scripture. And what I teach or preach to you today, if it does not concur with Scripture, reject it. Don't even listen. Don't even receive it. Have the mind of the Bereans to hear the Scripture with an open mind. And then you go and retrace it and search it and see if it has come from the bosom of Yahweh, or has come from this depraved mindset that has Ichabod written all over here, that the Spirit, the Ruah of Yahweh, is not in this man. Then reject it. But if it's of the truth, then you better receive it with all openness. And you better act upon what Scripture teaches, or what Scripture teach us. You need to act upon that. Now what I want to define, first of all, I want to define that word, born again. Now it is a phrase that is used so randomly in what we call this modern day Christendom. But it is not associated with what we call modern day Christendom. It is whole, they sell it wholesale. Anyone, everyone, and that is not so, because Scripture doesn't teach that. I want to define this. I want to define that expression, born again. And I define it by the Hebraic definition of the words that define born and also again. I think it's very vital that I define it that way, because we have this broad meaning of what it actually is in what we call the religious circles today. And it must be defined by what Scripture defines it as. And Scripture must show us what the born again experience is. We have heard it. We have used the phraseology. But does it concur with what Scripture says about being born again? Is this a new phenom? Did it only come by the breath or the mouth of Hamashiach? Or was it in the Tanakh? Was it there and Hamashiach spoke it? It was there before he ever spoke it. And he spoke it to bring the power of the life of that born again experience with Yahweh. I want to define this with detail. I want to make it plain that even someone of my limited understanding can understand. Is that all right? I'll break it down that way. So I want to define that first of all. It is defined by an application. Listen to this now. It is an application of one now who brings others over to his way of life. We must understand that when one is truly born again, there is an application that is used to bring one to that form of life. Yahweh has an application that he uses to bring us over to his ways. All the ways of a man, they appear to his own sights. Yahweh, he pondereth the ruah, the spirit of a man, to convert someone. Now, I want to make that expression known in the Hebraic paleo expression. It is yalat, yalat, and that is simply to bring forth, to bring forth. An odi is again to continue, to steal, yet to continue in persistence. Now, what are we continuing in? When one is born again, what are they continuing in? What are they persistent in? Now, we use these expressions without understanding the detailed meaning of what it applies to. We have been taught in Christendom, it is an experience that you metamorphose to within 30 seconds after you say a few words. That is not the born-again truth of Scripture. That is not what born again is. That is not the process of being born again. Scripture doesn't teach you that. Oh, I know we confess HaMashiach because he is the living word of Yahweh. And if any man does not confess him, he rejects truth. He rejects the living truth of Yahweh because he is and he was the living truth of Yahweh. And in order for us to answer this, we must go to Scripture. And I want to begin in Kepha, in Peter. First Peter, chapter 1. And verse 18, I want to begin reading. And Kepha says, now we understand who this letter, this epistle was written to. Written to Israel. He says, for as much as you know, now we do know this, we ought to. He says, you know, you understand, you Shema, you have great revelation of this, that you were not redeemed, you were not purchased. The propitiation of the price of your redemption was paid in full, so you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain, empty, worthless conversations. Now we have received vain conversations, received by traditions from your avats. Now we receive that. That is how we base our experience of this birth, on what traditions we have received from the Baptist tradition that we were born in, or from the Pentecostal, or from the Charismatic, or from whatever experience. Now that is the truth. They were vain conversations. They were not based upon Scripture. And so the conversation, or what they extol us to, it was a false conversation. So it was vain, it was empty, it was worthless, it was not based upon the teaching of Torah. So we were not redeemed with this corruptible thing, and it is one thing that it is induced in the mindset of this generation, in this pseudo-born-again experience, that they are consumed with corruptible things, are they not? Gold and silver and things and cars and homes and jewelry. Those are the things that they are consumed with. You know that it is a corruptible experience or a birth that they believe is a true born-again experience. And it is not the true born-again experience. I'm going to make it plain for us. And we will see in Scripture whether the word is right. Prove me wrong, Yahweh. But the word is excellent. The word is right. I'm not concerned about how right I am because I am wrong. It is him that is right. And his ruah dwells within me. We must understand what Yahweh is doing in this hour. We have been deceived. We have been carried away from the power of truth by vain traditions of our avats, our parents. Well, son, I was born a Baptist. I never understood that one as a child. And I'm going to die one. I was born a Methodist. That is a vain tradition. Well, I've been in the Presbyterian organization all of my life. I was born into this, and I'm going to die in this. Now, these are vain traditions. That we as those that Yahweh has called and sealed by the power of His Torah, that we have held fast to these traditions. But they were not from the bosom of Yahweh. They were not from Torah teaching and scripture. It was based upon empty, vain traditions of men. So we have not been redeemed with corruptible things. Those things that were corrupt could never redeem us. What they do, they corrupt us even the more, do they not? Gold and silver and vain things and this worldly consumption and desire, it corrupts you even the greater. It removes you away from Yahweh. Cause your heart to be given over unto the servitude of acquiring those kinds of things. And we will expend all of our energies on that. And very little for the excellence of Yahweh's truth. And we need to expend our energy for the excellence of Yahweh's truth. Now I want you to keep that in mind, the born again experience. We have not been purchased. We have not been redeemed, and that is, I want you to understand this. What pata actually signifies, when one asks HaMashiach says, this woman, she married my brother, the brother died, another brother married her, down the process of time, in the kingdom, whose wife shall she be? Now what that is the expression of, that is a kinsman redemption. And he is the kinsman redeemer, HaMashiach. And so what that was for, not to bring shame upon this betrothed, this wife, that she had not bared a child. And so the brother or the kinsman will take her and marry her to produce a lineage, a progenitor, to the name of that one that had married her at first. Now that is what HaMashiach has done. We are the firstborn of the resurrection. We are the firstborn. We have been birthed. We are the ones that are born after the resurrection. We are the firstborn. Now that firstborn, it has to indicate something more than some giggly feeling, some emotion that you feel good, or you have this inward feeling. It's more than that. Not to say that will not accommodate it, but it's more than that, brothers and sisters. We have held to the vain traditions, and we have lost the pure word or the pure understanding of what Yahweh intended for us to know. So that word redeem, it is patah. To do the part of a kinsman, to cause to be released from payment or ransom, to deliver from evils of every kind, internal, external, to ransom, rescue, and to deliver. You hear that? To deliver from the internal evils and the external evils as well. Now that is what the redemption of HaMashiach did. It brought about a birth. It brought the life of the birth to the Levim of Yahweh's people. When there is birth, do you not rejoice? Maybe tears, but it's something about a birth, isn't it? It brings this gladness. It certainly does. It does. And so does the birth. When you understand the true born again experience, it will bring about a great, great rejoicing in one's heart. When one is truly not born again, they will never experience this. I want to continue in verse 19. He says, But with the precious dam of the blood of HaMashiach, as a lamb without blemish, he was free from faultlessness. He had no faults. He had nothing that anyone could charge against him. And without spot, he was impeccable. There was nothing that we could associate his character to say that he was not the true living power of Yahweh's living word. So he had nothing that men could accuse him of. Although they didn't, but there was nothing that was any truth because he was impeccable. Who indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the Olam, the HaMashiach was foreordained. He was predestined. The word of Yahweh has always been the Savior of His people. When He went down to Israel in Egypt, were the words of Moshe the power of their deliverance? Sure they were. He went on to Pharaoh and he said, "Let the people of Yah go. Let my people go." It's what he declared. Yahweh says, "I will harden the heart of Pharaoh. Then I will recreate something in this house of Israel. When they go forth into the wilderness, that they will not willfully sin against me." So he will harden their heart. And by the mighty power of that same deliverance of his truth, he brought them forth. He brought them forth. But it was the word of Yahweh that Moshe spoke that brought them out of the bondage of Israel, out of Egypt. And it ought to have created a birth in them. But Yahweh says, "I'm going to do something for true Israel. I will show you. Just be patient. Endure the tribulations, all right? The battling of your natural mind, your flesh, the discomfort, the moving of your own flesh, your own thoughts. Reject them and hear what the word of Yahweh says." He says in verse 20, "Who indeed was foreordained before the foundations of the Olam, but was manifest in these last time for you now." That's why he was manifest in these last days for you, Israel. "Who," now listen to this closely, "who through," or "who by him," through HaMashiach, "we believe in Yahweh, who raised him up from the dead and gave him honor, praise, and tefillah, that our faith, emunah, and our tikvah, our hope, might be in Yahweh." Is that where our hope is in? Our tikvah, our praise, and our honor is in Yahweh. So he raised him from the dead, that our hope and our desire would be in Almighty Yahweh. Our faith, seeing, understanding, you have purified your being, your soul, in obeying the emet. You purify your soul in obeying the truth, the emet. Now, what is the truth? Yahweh's righteousness is from everlasting to everlasting, isn't it? And his Torah is the truth. He said, "You have purified, you have cleansed yourself in obeying the Torah." Now, I know what Christendom teach and the religious practices. I know what they teach. I understand that. But it is a pseudo form of born again. Scripture will hear us out in that event. He said, "You have, in obeying the emits, the truth, through the Ruah, to sincere love of Hava, of the brothers, seeing that you love one another with a pure love, fervently." That you love the brotherhood, you love Yisrael, and it is a very fervent love. It is not a disjointed, a segregated kind of love. It is a fervent ahava. It's pure. Now this is what we call love today, as we see it in these social circles, in these conglomerations, these mega whorehouses. This is not the ahava of Yahweh. Period. Very little of it is presented today even among the people of Yahweh, because they are not purifying themselves by his truth. And his Torah, his law, his ordinance, his discipline is the truth. And so when a man comes into the presence of this pseudo-type born-again experience, he has no understanding of what Torah or the Torah of Yahweh teaches. None whatsoever. And so he must be taught. He must know in order to understand this experience that he is going or she is going to have. And we have never understood that in the fullness, because we have followed the vain traditions of men, our forefathers, our avats, and we believe them. And we believe what they said, but the principles were based upon a pseudo false type of religion. It was not based upon Torah. And so in these last times, the true power of HaMashiach is being made known. We have not known the power of HaMashiach until these last times. We have heard of it. We have been taught of it, but we have not known. When one knows the power, it is a visible evidence in that person's life. We can look at ourselves in the mirror. And you can trick yourself. And you can honestly look at yourself. Do you see the visible representation? As HaMashiach says, the Abba dwells in me, and I in him. The words that I speak, they are not of myself, but these are the words of Almighty Yahweh. And so we can look in the mirror at the reflection and see if it reflects Almighty Yahweh. You will know whether it reflects Yahweh because it begins with fruit. You can see that. Have you ever looked in the mirror and you look beyond the spectrum of your corner, your eyes? You see something that is much deeper than that. You look into the inward parts of your own self. And you can see those things that alienate you and the things that are not of Yahweh. I don't know if you've done that, but I've done that. There's something that is mystifying there. You know it ought not to be there. It is not of Yahweh, periods. So we cleanse ourselves, brothers and sisters, not by some emotional gratification, not by some physical generation. We purify ourselves and make ourselves clean by obeying the Torah, the truth. That is how we do it. And what we have in this pseudo-wholesaling of what we call a born-again experience, we have this Jezanite, Jezebel spirit. They shake their fannies, they fall out, and they weep a little bit, and they say, I'm born again. I feel something different. You are a pervert from the corridor of darkness. It is not the born-again experience of Scripture. You have not been brought over to the way of truth. You have not experienced that. That's why Yahweh said, I will give you pastors after my heart. And they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. They will be close by you. They will associate with you. They will not be removed from you. They will show you things. They will make you understand those things that are corrupt in you. No one today wants to be that. Everyone wants this higher calling. Where there is no higher calling than to be a servant of Yahweh. And to serve the house of Israel. What greater calling can that be? To be a servant of the house of Israel. You can't have anything of any greater calling. Nothing at all. That is the most highest exalted titles that one can ever have. What? A servant of the house of Israel. If I'm just a doorkeeper in the kingdom. That's all right with me. I can handle that experience. We have purified our own being by obeying the emits. To the rule of having sincere love, ahava, our love must be sincere. And it begins with loving Yahweh with all of your love, and then your neighbor as you love yourself. So it has to be a sincere love. It can't be this pseudo thing that has been taught by tradition, that has been formed by emotions. That is not the ahava of Yahweh. Because our emotions, they do vasculate, don't they? Back and forward. Our emotions do that. And that is actually the composition of what we call love that we have. It vasculates. Hates today and the superficial thing, love tomorrow. Despises the next moment and will associate with the next period of time. That is not the pure Hava of Yahweh. That is a false pseudoism that has been taught by this pagan progenerator of lies and corruption that has filled our hearts that we cannot remove ourselves from it until we began to obey the Torah, the mitzvahs, the ordinance of Yahweh. Well, that is done away with lies. It has not been done away with. It has been fulfilled. HaMashiach has shown us that the power of that truth in flesh by the Ruah, the witness of this living truth, that it will bring about a substantial change in one's life. Ruah must speak the things that it has heard. And the Ruah, as Habashiah says, I speak what my Abba commands me. It does not come with these pseudo-doctrines and this falsism that is being taught today. It doesn't come with that. It's false. It is not of Yahweh. It is pseudoism. It's false. It is not the birthing of Yahweh in a man's heart. It certainly isn't. He goes on to say in verse 13. Now this is what I want to get to. This is the essence. And I want to bring this home to you. He says, being Yalad, born, Odi, born again. Not, do you hear this now? You've been born again. Not of corruptible seed. Now we know that the vain conversations of our forefathers were vain. It was corrupt. It was empty. Hear this, my brothers and sisters. He said, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? Through the word of Yahweh. Now stop there for one moment. Was there any word of Yahweh but what was written in the Torah and the Tanakh, the prophets, Tehillim? There was no other word that Kephar could have introduced them to but what was written in the scroll. So you must be born again, not of some imaginary words, not something that has been brought to pass in this moment, but that was which was from the beginning. Now that is the word that he was talking about. So how do we have a true birth without going back to the Bereshit? We must go back to the beginning. And the pseudo thing they call Christianity, it tells you to begin in Yakahanan, begin in the book of John. You don't begin there. You began in the Word. You began in the Tanakh. You began in the Torah. Because it teaches, it shows us what that born again experience is. It's in the book. It's here in the book that you have in your hand. But the pseudo deception has deceived the minds of the masses. And they literally think that they're born again. And they are not. Because scripture shows us and show us what born again is. The birth to being transformed from this place to that place. Whereby the heart of man and the mind is renewed. It is governed continuously. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of Yahweh. Now the word of Yahweh, listen to this, which lives and abides for a short period of time. Now the word of Yahweh abides forever. What word abides forever? David tells us that his righteousness is from everlasting to everlasting. Brothers and sisters, the righteousness of Yahweh is made known to us in his Torah and the Tanakh. So the word of Yahweh abides forever and ever. Was there an epistle of Kephar at that time? They only had the Tanakh. That's what they had. And we have with the pseudo-type vain teaching today, it has removed the purity of what born again is. The word of Yahweh abides forever. Now this is in the renewed covenant, is it not? It says that word of Yahweh which abides, the word of Yahweh which abides or which lives and abides forever. It is continuance. It will not perish. It lasts. It has no fall off at all. It never loses any of this integrity. It never loses any of its strength. The word of Yahweh never loses that. Then how is it in this time that born again experience, it is based upon some kind of pseudo vain conversation by our fathers, our forefathers, that has nothing to do with what Torah or the word of Yahweh teaches? In order for us to know what this being born again is, we must go back to the Bereshit, brothers and sisters. We must go back and see what it is. We must understand because it's very vital and important unto Israel to know and to have this born again experience. What we had in our Christendom, this practice of Christendom, it was not what scripture teaches as being born again. The word of Yahweh abides forever. And Kephar was speaking out of the scroll. He was speaking out of the Tanakh. That is what he was teaching out of. He was not talking out of some kind of imaginary thought process. He was led by the Ruah. When a man is led by the Ruah, he is the son of Yahweh. He was not led by his own intuition or his own intelligence. He was led by the living word. For the word of Yahweh abides forever. And that is what was leading him. It's one thing. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me move a little farther. Look what he says in Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 29. Born again. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. Devarim. It says, listen to this now. The secret things belong to Yahweh our Abba. The secret things. But those things which are revealed, what is revealed now, belongs unto us and our children. For how long? Forever. That we may do some of the words. That we may do what now? Now are we the children of Israel? Now we must do all the words. Now that is plural, isn't it? So it means more than a singular word. We must do all the words of this what? Of this Torah. Of the law of Yahweh. His ordinance. His statutes. His restraints. We must do all of it. And in order to understand this birth, we must do what the Torah teaches us. We don't go by some vain, corrupt conversation of our forefathers. We must go by what Torah teaches. So Yahweh has revealed the Torah unto us. He has revealed His truth unto us. And it is meant for us and our children. Because if they do not walk in the strength of it, then there is a curse that is procured upon us and them. That the mind can never grasp what Yahweh speaks. And this is a generation that cannot grasp what the Most High is speaking today. This is a generation whose mindset cannot even comprehend that there is one that is the Most High. You know, in that gathering there at the prison house on yesterday, I had to reprove a man. He began to bring up his Morris science and all of that. And I say, hold on. I'm trying to learn knowledge because knowledge, I say, that's not what Scripture tells us. And I say, Scripture says to us that when Adam and Eve were in the garden, Yahweh commanded them that all knowledge is not good. He said, there's knowledge that is tov, and there's knowledge that is evil. This is a generation that is seduced by evil knowledge. I said, oh, knowledge is not truth, man. That is not what Scripture teaches. So I will not allow you to come in here and speak like that. I will not. I didn't care because I was behind the walls. I told them I'm a warrior. And I reproved too. Sure I did. The born again experience. The truth. We must be born again by the power of His truth. A living truth. Not a dead truth. Not this schismatic truth. It is schismatic. Because the schism of the born again experience in the Methodist is different than the Baptist. The Baptist is different than the First Baptist. The First Baptist is different than the Pentecostal. So don't tell me it isn't. It's schismatic. It brings divisions. And it divides. But it's one thing that we are certain of. Now listen. That the living word of Yahweh is forever. It never change. The word of Yahweh does not, cannot, and will not change. It cannot. And so we know that it is an enduring word. So it did not change when HaMashiach came. He was the exact copy or the purpose of the living word. That's what He was. And so without understanding what the word says, there is no concept of being born again. You can have a fictitious pseudo experience that you call born again. You get the people all moving and jumping like that, but that's not what Scripture teaches. His word abides. What abides? David says in Tehillim. Tehillim 119 verse 43. Psalms 119 verse 43. I want you to hear this now. What word abides forever? We must have light upon line. Isn't that so? We must get the precepts from Scripture. We cannot get them from some philosophical handbook. We cannot do that, can we? So it must come from Scripture. So if it comes from Scripture, then we must believe it. Now David says here in Tehillim 119:43, he says, "And take not the word of Emet, a truth, utterly out of my mouth, for I have hope in your mishpah, your judgments." Verse 44, "So shall I keep your Torah continuously forever and ever." So is the Torah, the law of Yahweh, meant for a period of time and we disannul it? Is it meant for just a certain segment of people, or is it meant for Yisrael? His Torah is forever and ever. We keep that forever and ever. It amazes me and always has how people can take certain texts out of Scripture to support a doctrine and a fallacy of doctrine, but they will not take their entire text of Scripture because it will show them their fallacy, how wrong they are, where they are missing the boat. The Torah of Yahweh is to be kept continuously, forever and ever. And HaMashiach did not destroy that, because if he had of, he would have been a false Messiah. He would have been a pseudo Messiah. He was the, quote, real deal, unquote. He was the truth of Yahweh. He was the living power of the living words. Because in him we find life, and we find it abundantly. And the only way you're going to find life is in the living word of Yahweh. You cannot get life from a dead words. And this pseudo-religious practice today, the words are dead. No life in it. It does strengthen the rebellionness of flesh, but it certainly doesn't strengthen the Torah of Yahweh. It doesn't strengthen the teachings of Yahweh. It causes one to gravitate to those things that are sensual. And the doctrine of this Christendom today, it teaches men and women to gravitate to those things that are sensual. And everything about it, it is a sensual application. Because everything that surrounds it, it teaches us and taught us that we should desire sensual things. And we should move toward that sensual desire. And we know that the sensual desire is enmity against the Torah. It is against Yahweh. And that is why men despise Torah today and the teaching of Torah truth, because it reproves, repudiates, and rebukes every aspect of their greedy defiance of the mitzvahs of Yahweh. It is a covetous doctrine that is taught. It is a doctrine of greed and lasciviousness. It is not based upon the born again truth of Yahweh. It is not. Not one bit at all. Now I'm showing us this because I want to get to the essence of this message. You got to lay, before you can build a road, you must first of all go out there and what they will do will make sure you grade. It will grade the road. Water is coming so that the water will fall off a certain way, so the water will not run under the road and crack up the pavement. So I must pave this road onto this born-again experience first. I got to grade it down a little bit. Everything has to be graded down to spec. Everything has to be graded down to height. And then you got to put a covering layer on that. You understand? You just don't go out there and lay it on sand, because the road is not going to last if you just lay the road down on sand. You need some substance under that will harden like clay. So I have to lay all this down. We got to lay this old clay flesh down. First thing I got to lay down, all right? We got to bring it down so that it will be brought to death. And we may understand this birth, and it is a very beautiful thing once we understand this. It will cause the heart to eclipse. There will be a revolutionary change in our lives when we truly experience this, what Scripture teaches us. Not what man teaches, but what Scripture teaches. How much you says in Matthew chapter 5. In verse 18, Matthew 5:18, "For truly I say to you, until the Shemayim and the Olam pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the Torah till all be fulfilled." What do you mean, HaMashiach? That the effects of the Torah may be executed, that all requirements of the Torah may be met, that everything that I do will measure up, and that it will satisfy Almighty Yahweh. And that is what the Torah does. He said that it all must be fulfilled. So he shows us the dynamic of Torah, that it is so everlasting. And the beauty and the strength of it, even the Shema Ams will be moved, and the old lamb will be destroyed, moved away before even one jolt or one tittle is passed or nullified from Torah. And yet every type of pseudo-doctrine today nullifies the Torah. It's wrong, my brothers and sisters. Without that, you can never be born again. Without Torah, you can never be born again. You can never experience the birth of Yahweh. You can never. Jotan is masterful. He is masterful in his deception. Did he deceive Eve? Did he bring her over by words? And so the pseudotype practice today, the vain words, have deceived many and brought them over unto a way that is nothing but bondage. It is not the true birth of Almighty Yahweh. It is not at all. He says in another place, I want you to hear this in Lucas. It is easier for the Shemayam and the Olam to pass than one tittle of the Torah to fail. Now that is profound. He says it is more easier for you to see the Shemayams dissolved and they fall away than for one little tittle, for one little smidgen of Torah to fail. Torah never fails. Religion and vain traditions will always fail, but Torah never fail. He said that the power of Torah, it is such an everlasting strength that the Shemayams will be moved away. And the earth will be taken out of its course and its place for one little scintillar. You tell me if that is the strength of this Torah, that Yahweh meant for us to do away with it? It has no validity? Now this is what Yahshua is saying. This is not what some philosophical idea has come up by man's intelligence, thought process. This is what he said out of his mouth. Now we know that the words that he spoke, they were of the Abba, were they not? He spoke nothing of himself. Everything that he spoke, it was of Yahweh. Why? Because he is the living word. So this is what Yahweh says. This is not what a man says. This is what Yahweh says. Nothing from my Torah is going to fail. You will be a fool all the days long if you think that any little smidgen of my Torah is going to fail. Why? Because it is what constitutes him. It is what he is, brothers and sisters. It is what governs him. He is all truth. He is all light. He is all righteousness. And beside him there is no light. There is no righteousness. There is no truth at all without him. Period. Now I want you to, now I know what many say, these false pseudo type doctrines. I want you to turn quickly to Romans chapter 10. Because they want to take this and utilize this as to say that the Torah has no validity. It confounds many today. Now this is what it says. It says in Romans chapter 10 verse 4. It says it like this. For Messiah, Yahshua, is the end of the Torah for the righteousness to everyone that believes. Now you're reading that in our vernacular. It would depict that because of HaMashiach there is no need of Torah. But that is not what that is literally saying. Now, let me read it again. For Messiah is really, what this is actually saying, that HaMashiach is actually the goal. He has met the purpose of Torah. He has met the Torah for the eternal, for this righteousness of Yahweh. That when we believe this, when we accept this and receive this, we are the righteous ones of Yahweh, because his righteousness is from everlasting to everlasting. So HaMashiach, he met the expectation in an earthly tabernacle of Torah. And Yahweh says that's why we need that mind, to understand the power and beauty of Torah. That's why our lives are so dysfunctional. Our lives are crazy. We're displaced. We are twisted people. Our minds are twisted. Our thoughts are twisted. Our attitudes are twisted. Our love is twisted. Our emotions are twisted. We're just twisted. I don't care what you say. We vacillate between evil and evil. Not evil and tough, but evil and evil. Our minds vacillate like that, back and forth. Twisted. Why? Because if the mind is uncontrollable, if it's not controlled by Torah, then that's all it's going to think. And most of our energy and our time has spent on things that are not rooted in Torah teaching or Torah discipline. It's based upon our emotions and our feelings. And there is nothing more deceiving than your own emotions and your own feelings or your own judgment of you. That's why we don't want anyone else to judge us, because our judgment of ourselves is so corrupt and it favors us, doesn't it? But your judgment of me doesn't favor me. It favors you. That's why we must have just justice. It must be just. And the judgment of Yahweh is based upon Torah. As you base things upon Torah, you will have just judgments. Sure you will. Hallelujah, Yahweh. So that is what that means. So that text in Scripture, it has confounded many. They literally believe that that is the end of Torah. No, here's the goal. Here's the purpose. Here's the fulfillment. He is the establishment of Torah. It's what HaMashiach is. That's exactly what he is. Now I want to move into Yochanan. Now this, I want you to listen carefully. The born again experience. What is this born again, this rebirth? I want you to hear this. And I'm going to show us in Scripture. I have to establish the truth of Yahweh's word, his Torah. It doesn't change. And so HaMashiach had to preach in Kephar, had to preach of this born again experience, that we have the seed of the word of Yahweh which abides and live forever. We must be born again by the living word. And there were no epistle of Gephar. So he had to take them to the scroll, to the Torah, the Tanakh, and show them this born again experience and what it truly is. I want to begin here in Yochanan, John chapter 3, verse 1. Scripture says that there was a man of Purim named Nicodemus. Now, we've all heard of Nicodemus. In every kind of religion, they use this text of Scripture. Scripture tells us, now look at what he was. Was he a ruler? What it says? He was a what? A ruler. Now, you understand what a ruler is. One that is very proficient, knowledgeable, one that understands. He was not just a ruler, but he was a ruler of the Yaldians. That's who he was a ruler of. So he had to be very diverse in Torah. Do you all hear that? He had to understand Tanakh protocol. He had to know tradition. Now he was a man of a plethora of understanding. He knew Scripture. He understood the requirement of temple worship. He knew all of those things. He understood it excellently. He did, brothers and sisters. He had an excellent knowledge and understanding of those things. He was a ruler. And Scripture points that out to us, because we read words, but yet they are not emphasized in our readings. When I read things, I may get the gist of the thing, just two or three words out of the whole text. Because there is where the value lies. So the first thing was established that this man was a ruler. He understood what Yahweh, he understood the ways of Yahweh. He should have. He says in verse 2, the same came to HaMashiach, Yahshua, by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a Moreb or a teacher come from Yahweh. For no man can do these miracles that you do except Yahweh be with him. So look at this profound testimony. He knew that he had come from Yahweh. He knew that what things were performed by him could only be done by Yahweh. He was a ruler. He knew what took place. He knew the moving of Yahweh. He knew what Yahweh had done according to the Tanakh and the Torah. He knew what he had done with Israel out of Egypt. He said, what you're doing, no man can do it unless you're always with him. Yahshua answered and said unto him, truly, you're right, truly. I say to you, listen now, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. What a profound statement. Now why would he even express this to Nicodemus? Unless a man is born again, listen now, he cannot even see the kingdom work of Yahweh. He doesn't even know the kingdom work of Yahweh. So this generation doesn't know the kingdom work of Yahweh. It doesn't even know what the kingdom is. It has no understanding of the kingdom of Yahweh. He cannot even see. He has no perception, no understanding of the kingdom of Yahweh. None whatsoever. He has no idea of what the kingdom work is. That's why even Moshe said to Israel, he told them to circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your love. It must be circumcised. And he said, and be no more, or do not be stiff-necked or stubborn in your ways. The foreskin of a man's love must be circumcised. There must be a cleansing. That corrupt, carnal, fleshly appetite, that vile nature, it is not the birth of Yahweh. Don't tell me that the born again experience of Yahweh caused you to just stop smoking or drinking. Because a man smoked, that is not a sin. It's going to do the body some damage. It is not. When a man transgress the Torah, that is a sin. Sin is a transgression of the Torah. But I know that denominations teach that. If a man sit down for a glass of wine, that's a sin. It is not a sin. It is not abominable. But I know that there are denominations that teach those things. That's what we were brought up with. That is what the vain traditions of man taught us. But that is not what HaMashiach was speaking to Nicodemus. He was a leader of the Hebraic people. He was a leader, and he understood that all men were required to obey Torah. And here this man says to him, HaMashiach says, you cannot even see the kingdom unless you're born again. Listen now, I want you to hear this. The next verse. Nicodemus says to him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time his mother's womb, and be born? HaMashiach Yahshua answered, truly, truly, I want to emphasize this. I say to you, Nicodemus, except a man be born of the Mahim, the water, and of the Ruah, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Ruah is Ruah. He says, marvel not that I say this to you. Why do you marvel at this? You must be born from above. He said, Nicodemus, you marvel because I say this. You don't understand what I'm saying? Listen closely now. We've read this, but we have not read it. HaMashiach says, the wind blows where it desires, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it has come from and where it goes. So is every one of you that is born of the Ruah. Nicodemus answered and says to him, how can these things be? Look at what HaMashiach says. Yahshua answered and said to him, are you a ruler, a master, a leader of Israel, and know not these things? Do you say that you are Israelite and you don't know what being born again is? Are you a ruler? Do you hear that now? Are you a master, a ruler, and you don't know this? Do you expound upon Torah and teaching to the house of Israel, Yehuda? And you don't know these things, that you must be born again? You don't know this, Nicodemus? You have read the Torah, the Tanakh. You have studied it profoundly, and you don't know these things? You don't understand this transformation, this born again, not this pseudo trash in these whole houses today. He says to him, you're a man of great knowledge and understanding, and you don't know these things. You marvel at what I say, being born again, and you're ruler of Yehuda. You are confounded at what I'm saying. I hope you'll hear me now. And you say you are a ruler, and you do not understand that you must be born again. You teach the Torah and the Tanakh, and you don't understand, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You don't understand these things. These things do not register to you. He was talking to a ruler and a leader and a man that should have known. And so when he spoke these things with the power and understanding of the Torah, the Tanakh, with the witness of the prophets, he would have known what HaMashiach was saying because it's written in the book. He would have known. HaMashiach said, you say you study, you teach, and you don't know this. You're saying that you understand what the Ruah of Yahweh is, and you know that Yahweh is a Ruah, a spirit, and you don't know these things. You tell me you understand the very intricate relationship Yahweh had with David and Solomon as they spoke on these things, and you don't know this, you must be born again. You don't understand this, Nicodemus, and you try to lead the people and instruct them in the importance of the value of Torah, and you don't understand that. You don't understand the value of that being born again. Do you know Scripture? This is what he was saying to him. Don't marvel at what I say. Why should you even marvel at that? These things, Nicodemus, you should know. You should understand these things. You should know them quite well. Well, why do you say that, preacher? Because it had been written in the Torah. It had been written in the prophets. And Nicodemus should have known. Because Scripture talks about the birth, the process of the born again experience in Scripture. And I want to go there and show you. I want to go to Yeshkel, Ezekiel. This is what the born again experience and what Yahweh does to bring about this birth. And this is what the summation of it, brothers and sisters. No doubt about it. He says in Yeshkel, Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. I want to begin at verse 25. Yahweh says here, as Ezekiel speaks unto the house Israel concerning the righteousness of Yahweh and the blessings that shall come from their Abba. Verse 25. Yahweh says to Israel, it is one thing, brothers and sisters, we must understand word meaning. It's very valuable. We must. And it's one thing about the brain, it is very lazy if you do not exercise it. It's almost like our natural bodies. You know, our natural bodies will not do anything as long as this thing right here tells you don't do it. It's a very lazy thing. And it must be exercised. It must be removed from that laziness. That's why we have come to poverty. That's why we are poor. That's why we are emaciated. That's why we are sickly spiritually. That's why we are full of death. We don't know how to speak the words of life because we are full of death. Because we will not take the energy for Yahweh and the time that we need to expend upon Him. Now we don't do that. We must take time with Him. How do you develop a child unless you take time with Him? Yahweh has shown us great love and great comfort that we ought to be willing to spend time with Him. You will never know if you're not willing to spend time. And He is not going to compel you. Now one minute also, you can continue in your pseudo self-righteous ways. You do not possess the born again experience of Almighty Yahweh. And these are the words of Yahweh unto Israel. He says in Ezekiel, Yeshkel 36:25. Yahweh says, then will I sprinkle. Now I know what the Methodists have used to utilize that. When you look and understand the Hebraic word of that sprinkling, it is zarak. It is abundance. It is plentiful. Not just a little trickle of water on you. And that's what it means. It doesn't carry that connotation, but in our English vernacular, it carries that a little water sprinkled on you. That's not what he's saying. It is a wide open, it is abundance, it is much, it is much. It is not just a little water. It is scattered abundantly. It is being baptismal. It is being engulfed. Now that is what Yahweh is saying. He says, this I will sprinkle, I will zarak, clean water upon you. And you shall be clean. And all of your filthiness, and from all of your idols, I will cleanse to her, I will cleanse you. Look at this in the next verse. He says, a new kadash, a new lev, also will I give you. And a kadash ruah will I put within you. That sounds like a mighty transformation. Hear this now. He said, and I will take away the stony lev out of your flesh. And I will give you a lev that is pliable, one of flesh. Look at this. This is it. This is the born again power of Yahweh. And I will put my ruah in you. I will put the power of my spirit in you and cause you to walk. And cause you to walk. And cause you to live. And cause you to practice. Not this damnable trash today. And practice every kind of idolatry worship there is. This is the power of his born again experience. That's why HaMashiach said to Nicodemus, you are ruler and you don't know what I'm talking about. Being born of the water. And being born of the Ruah of Yahweh. He said, I will put my Ruah. That's why HaMashiach says, it is expedient for you that I go away. Because if I go not away, the Abba cannot send the Ruah, the Comforter. Do you hear that, brothers and sisters? His Ruah, his spirit is not sent for you to act like a fool and distrust demonic power that rules in these pagan ritual whorehouses today. He said, I will put my Ruah on you. I will. I will put my Ruah within you. And my Ruah will cause you to walk, cause you to live, cause you to practice, cause you to love, cause you to walk in my hook, my statutes, and you shall keep my mishpah, you shall keep my judgment, and you shall do them. You shall do them, you shall obey them, they shall be vivid in your lives. Not that's what we've been taught. This is the born again power of Almighty Yahweh. When a man is born again, he walks in the statutes, he walks in the mishpat, he walks in the Torah of Almighty Yahweh. The Ruah of Yahweh is not put in you to pray for these corrupt things, the seed that is corrupt, and that's what your heart desire. They've been born again by a corrupt spirit. We have been born again by an incorruptible Zira, a seed of Yahweh, the living word. And his statutes are living. His ordinances are living. We have tikvah, we have hope in the statutes of Yahweh. Because HaMashiach fulfilled them to the purpose and the pleasure of Almighty Yahweh. That we can trust in him. We can know him, brothers and sisters. This born again experience of Yahweh, when a man walks in the power of Yahweh's truth, he will not walk in the ways of evil. He will not do the things. He will not practice evil things. He will not do the things that are abominable before Almighty Yahweh. He put his Ruah in us that we will walk in his Torah, that we will keep his Torah. We will abide in his Torah. Not for us to act like some mocky people and crazy and moving and twisting and gyrating. That is not the Ruah of Almighty Yahweh. That's a pseudo spirit. That's why the bitty hens master that. Men master that. Just lay it, boom. Even when I was in Christendom, I knew that that was not the right. And there are you that even I have spoken to you. You, if you look back over the years, I said, no, don't do that. Because I knew it wasn't Yahweh. This is not the Ruah of Yahweh. It is a pseudo fabricated thing. When one truly has the spirit, he say, I will put my Ruah within you. And it will cause you to walk in my statute. They cannot walk in the statutes of Yahweh.